The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. We're just going to leave the children's sermon hanging in the air as an illustration of the God who seeks and saves the lost, or the people who think they're so smart they can hide their face behind a curtain. Our dog did the same thing when it was time to go outside and use the bathroom before bed. He hides his face, but God can always see the feet wiggling. We're finishing up this sermon series on the marks of the church. We've been thinking about ways that we are marked out from the world, the ways that we're identified as belonging to God in Christ through the Spirit, and the ways in which being marked out that way actually makes us who we are. That through these gifts of the Lord's Supper and Holy Baptism, through our ministry through the Spirit, through our worship and praise of God, through the sufferings that we bear for the sake of Christ and His gospel, for that Word of God which absolves us of every sin and strengthens us for the road ahead. These things mark us out, identify us, distinguish us. And the Word of God is our seventh mark, but it actually was the first mark when Martin Luther gave this teaching. But it works as a seventh because it's a nice summary, and it's a nice way because the number seven is always special in the Bible when it comes up. The Word of God, the mark of the church is the Word of God. Luther says, you don't need a lot of people in a sanctuary to have the church. You just need sheep hearing the voice of the shepherd. You need God's holy word and somebody listening, and you have yourself a church, and that church is alive and well. And we talk about the word in a few different ways. You know, sometimes we've been taught to say the word of God is the Bible, and it is. That the Holy Bible is the word of God, and if somebody refers to God's word, they usually mean the Bible. But there's a couple of other ways that open up that sense. God's word is, of course, written in Holy Scripture. And God's word is incarnate, made flesh in Jesus. That's how the Gospel of John puts it. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, everything came into being through that Word, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we've seen His glory, the glory of the Father's only Son. So the Word is written, yes. The Word is incarnate in Christ, yes. And the Word is spoken. It's a living Word. It's a proclaimed or preached Word. It's a Word that cries out. Maybe a way to think of it is the Word is written, walking, and talking. The Word of God is written, walking, and talking. But now we've got word puzzles in our life. And we have word puzzles in our day and age. Because the word that's written, walking, and talking, we put a lot of uns at the beginning of the word. Uncertain. Unrecognized. Unacceptable. God's word is written? You're telling me the Bible says so? That's an uncertain word in the ear. You're telling me this word of God walked around as a person named Jesus, a peasant from centuries ago? You don't have to be living now to ask that question. People who saw Jesus at that time said, who is this man who forgives sins as if he's God Almighty? It's the unrecognized word. The word came to his own and his own received him not. You're telling me this word is now speaking to me? That the word is not just captured in a Bible, and it's not just Jesus unseen, but this word is now coming in the words of baptism and the supper and the preaching of a guy who we know his sins all too well. This word is the word of God? A church full of hypocrites? This word is unacceptable. A written word is uncertain to so many ears. An incarnate word is unrecognized by those who encounter Jesus. And the spoken word is unacceptable to modern ears. We've got word puzzles, friends. Some of our problems with the word is because as our life and our culture and how smart we are has pecked away at the certainty of God's word, we begin to actually think that unless God's word is scientific, it's not true or reliable or trustworthy. As if that's the only way to think about the world. Is that how you think about your beloved spouse or child or dear friend? That you understand the chemistry of their brain and why you guys are compatible? That you do a little pheromones check every morning to see how happy your marriage is? Like, no. There's a knowledge and a certainty of relationship that goes far beyond the knowledge and certainty of a scientist or of a logical procession of events. When we gather on Holy Trinity Sunday and say, God the Father sent his Son in the flesh, who now lives again on the third day and sends his Spirit to live among us and gift us for ministry and the power of his word. When we talk about all of this, we're talking about a mathematics that goes far beyond 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1. We're talking about a higher order. 1 times 1 times 1 is 1. God is Father, Son, Spirit. There's a certainty of relationship. There's not a certainty of understanding. There's mystery that we're given to steward and care for and express in merciful words to the world. That's what I love about this mountaintop scene at the end of Matthew's gospel. Jesus has been raised from the dead. He's made appearances over those 40 days. And now on the 40th day after the resurrection, he's on this mountain and he is ascending to the right hand of the Father, which is a picture image for he's stepping into the full authority of God. And Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore. And that scene, it says that they worshiped him, which means they fell at his feet, and some doubted. The word for doubting is like a word for wavering. I think that's a beautiful picture. You have these wavering worshipers. We have some wavering worshipers. Our hearts all know what it's like to, at times or oftentimes, be a wavering worshiper. These disciples are at the feet of the risen Christ, who's about to be removed from their sight, and they're wavering because they can't take it all in. How can this be? And Jesus sends these wavering worshipers into all the nations, into all the nations. Another way to think about the written, walking, and talking word is the God is speaker, spoken, and seal. Not the animal, but like a seal or a stamp on top. Because the Lord knows, and kids at bath time know, our ears are sealed. We pretend we don't hear mom or dad telling us it's time for a bath. Or we try to silence our parents by squirming away or hiding or putting our fingers in our ears and saying, la, 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 I can't hear you. We don't want to actually believe that to be clean, you actually need a bath. We just think if you run around enough, the dirt falls off and we can just keep going. And our Lord knows this. So he speaks to us and he sends the spoken word, Jesus. And the Holy Spirit seals that word to our hearts. Seals that word through the promises of baptism and the supper. It seals that word to our hearts through the written and spoken word of Scripture. Out of great mercy, Almighty God sent his Son Jesus to die for our sins and raised him on the third day through the power of the Holy Spirit. This word of Jesus set captives free but was himself handed over to death. This risen Christ now sends his wavering worshipers into all the world, discipling, baptizing, and teaching this word of life to the end of the age. Psalm 8 also talks about how we're marked by the word. It talks about how the whole heavens and the earth are marked with the word of God. The psalm begins and ends, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And in the middle of the psalm, the singer is astounded that when I consider the works of your hands, the stars and the heavens, who in the world am I that you should be mindful of mere mortals like me? That you should care for human beings. The word of God in creation humbles us. And the word of God spoken in Jesus and through Jesus' disciples exalts us to new life. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Or as we'll sing later, our God is an awesome God. We are small, but we're spoken to. We are mortal, but we are majestically loved. And we have three graduating seniors here today who used to be a lot smaller as they were welcomed by their parents into this world. And they were raised with spoken words of love and guidance and encouragement. Love also made touchable with, yes, the grabbing and putting in a bathtub, but oh, those embraces, the smell and the touch of mother, father, grandparents, and the taste of the home cooking and the warm bed and the home that feels safe. And now we're blessing these seniors. And when you go out into the world, whether you're literally leaving home yet or you're stepping into this new season, graduates, you will again experience what it's like to feel small. But you aren't just small, you are spoken to. You aren't just mortal or answering all these questions about what are you going to do now with your life? What are you majoring in? Are you going to school? Are you working? Are you going to move out? You're not just mortal, but you are majestically loved by the God who made you and gave you your family to raise you to this point in your life. It's incredible. How majestic is this word of God? And so each of us, whether you're graduating today or the rest of us, we're all marked out as church, as ministers of this majesty. We're marked out as ministers of this majestic word of God in creation and this majestic word of God in the scriptures and in Jesus. So I want to close by taking us quickly back through these seven marks of the church. And I'm going to read the end of Matthew's gospel and just pause and point out some of these marks. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth." It's the word of God speaking, the word of God made flesh. "All authority has been given to me," Jesus, who is now being worshipped by the wavering and worshipful disciples. "Go, therefore," which is going to mean suffering and giving of yourself, "and disciple all nations," ministry, as God shapes us like a potter's clay, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey every word I have given you." The absolving word of mercy and grace that breaks the chains of the captives and sets us free. And Jesus concludes, "And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And in a few minutes, we'll gather around this meal because Jesus continues to be with us in this meal to the end of the age. And as we share in this meal, we're marked out in this world as different. We also share this meal